Rose bushes intruded, prickly hazards up the walk. There were no footprints, so nobody had been here since the newly fallen snow, day or two at least. Icicles hung in the window frames. There was no glass. Igor held his dosimeter to the ground. 6.04 microsieverts per hour. The kindergarten in Kapachi was a solid old thing. Brick building, four columns, fading blue paint around the wood of the windows. All over the floor, papers were scattered about, workbooks with activities, kids' stuff like coloring, matching up similar objects. Somebody had brought a little metal tricycle with a metal seat inside. Its rubber tires were gone. A spoon sat on a low table, and a green poster board, I think it was a science project, was propped up against the wall behind it. You had to skirt a charred spot in the floor where somebody once set a fire. A cabinet, a teacup, a grown-up's coffee mug, a stuffed bear leaned back propped against a chalkboard on the little tray where the chalk would be. Three narrow wooden doors hung crooked, kind of defiant, open and upright. Cabinets listed down at the end of the hall. Somebody had spilled the cabinet's insides out all over the floor. It's a pretty pointless thing to do. A bottle of glue sat alone on a shelf, and a tree poked right through the window. Down the corridor, bunk beds filled up a whole room. Cloth safety nets around the top bunks. The original 1986 covers and pillows. I mean, there must have been. Who'd smuggle in soil blankets? Paint peeled in palm-of-your-hand-sized slices. Children's book was titled Barvanok. In Ukrainian, that's periwinkle. Two girl dolls, one in long johns, the other barefoot in a pinafore, lay on one bed's lower frame. Snow piled up on the trees. One window still had glass. People had posed things for pictures, a book open to a particular page on a windowsill, gas masks on the floor. After 27 years, this wasn't April 1986. I mean, people had been here. Workers brought in for the cleanup effort, for example. They called them liquidators. They took whatever they needed, wherever they found it. Families came back now and again to salvage what they could of their own things, and Kiev let contracts to salvage scrap metal, and that resulted in ripped out window frames and pipes. And the looting. Igor lamented bad people. He was so innocent, such a wide-eyed academic, that you thought along with him, yeah, those bad, bad people. Igor just had no guile. He always called it our government, like a Boy Scout. He was utterly unaffected, and you had to love him. The government cracked down hard on the looting. You didn't want radioactive teddy bears finding their way to Kiev, after all, or hot batteries driving around in cars. The kindergarten wasn't exactly a freeze frame of April 26, 1986, but little girls' dolls, 80s-style tricycles, and rusted cribs in the school. They'll still get to you, 27 years on. 27 years on. Chapter 2, The Road Up. 25 people and their guides visited the Chernobyl exclusion zone on a Saturday in March 2013. Three Norwegian photographers, a bus with 18, including Germans, Hungarians, Austrians, a Ukrainian woman and her American boyfriend, a Honda carrying two people that nobody ever saw again, and then my wife and great traveling partner Miria and me, and our driver and guide, both named Igor. In Kiev, snow screamed out of the sky. Hotel had a pretty good view up on a hill, and beyond the curtains, the whole world was ivory. -6 in the morning, with a high of -3 promised. People clomped through town with their heads down, snow grumpy. There should have been signs of spring by now, they groused, but all you got were big black stacks of snow on sidewalks and this chafing, bitter wind. If you walk straight out the hotel door past St. Michael's Cathedral on your left, you can follow the traffic to Maidan Nezalezhnosti, or Independence Square. It's a strange brew of post-war Stalinism and curious modern glass domes. It's grand enough for a main square, but not presumptuous and surely not imposing. The wind whipped up and down it. And I couldn't imagine how they all managed to camp outside in tents during the Orange Revolution.